Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Our Two Cents Let's Chat. As always, I'm joined by Vivek. Vivek, would you like to say hi?
I'm here. Hello, every. Okay. Anyway.
Funnily enough, there's been something on my mind that has nothing to do with this topic, which I would like to share so I could get a second opinion from our keen listeners. But recently, and you're not gonna enjoy this thing that I'm about to say because you're gonna find it very unrelatable, but I'm gonna say it anyways. But recently I have been having an Ed Sheeran phase, and it's quite weird because I never even really considered Ed Sheeran as, you know what I mean, someone who is living, you know what I mean, he was never in my scope of musicians. All I knew was Shape of You, and that goddamn song has been playing since 2017 on the radio. And my dad Sham, who is a wonderful man, he curses at it whenever it comes on the radio, so I never really thought much of Ed Sheeran, just except for I've always reduced him to Shape of You in my head. But recently I've been having an Ed Sheeran phase, and then on top of that I've also been having a bit of a Shawn Mendes phase. So it's really just white boy singer songwriter guitar, think that they're cool because all they use the loose pedal phase that I'm in right now. And I feel like I need more music recommendations from people who listen to artists such as the ones that I've just named. And also it's kind of weird because they're like, you know, super popular musicians. And I know that in music, it's uncool to listen to what's popular. It's cool to listen to the underground indie stuff that no one knows. But now I'm on the search for recommendations. So out of all the fine people who are listening and tuning in on whatever fine day you are listening and tuning in, if any of you would like to, you know, give me some music recommendations.
I will make sure, I will take the mantle upon myself among everyone else to give you my 625 song, Bollywood, Garba, Latin, a few white people songs, Arabic, Punjabi, Marathi, and Telugu playlist.
Okay, but see, that's exactly what I mean. That's not what I asked for. I asked for a white boy, basic singer-songwriter music, and you just intertwine.
I said a few white people songs. There's some, like, the Taylor songs that you added to my... Be like, don't be depressy, get an espressy playlist. So,
yes,
please.
Yes. Everyone go follow my Spotify and my Pinterest at Kirtana Pingili right now. Okay, continuing on to the episode.
Shameless self-promotion aside, our topic for today's episode is Uber partisanship. You know, what is it? How does it get in the way of serving the American people? And overall, just why it's not good. We don't have a specific charity for this topic. So all of our proceeds from this episode will be going to our last charity, not charity, but to our last fund, which was Planned Parenthood. And I think that's it. So I guess we could just jump right in. So I guess the first thing is, what is Uber partisanship? Do you want to take this, Kirtana?
Go ahead.
So Uber partisanship is basically, it can be basically boiled down to when the two political parties, again, this is more U.S.-centric since typically it is a huge problem in two-party democracies. But in the U.S., Uber partisanship is when the two parties are so against each other and go so far to their, you know, Democrat or Republican pride that they will oppose, you know, thoughts or even statements from, you know, the other side without even, you know, hearing them. That's just an example, of course. But so, for example, if there was, you know, here's a great example, Trump saying that no matter what, the elections are always going to be, you know, rigged if they're run by the Democrats. Okay, well, that's not, you know, first of all, it's not a substantiated argument. And second of all, you're not just, you're going against it just because, you know, the Democrats are saying it, the do nothing socialist liberal, take away my guns, force you all to get abortion, Democrats are doing it. So basically Uber partisanship is obviously not a great thing. You know, a lot of the time it takes over Capitol Hill and prevents people on Capitol Hill from really doing anything for us, the people who vote them in. So yeah, that's just a little bit about it.
We were having a conversation about, both of us are currently taking AP government at school. So this is kind of a topic.
Shout out Mr. Jimenez.
Stop, not shout out Mr. Jimenez. Cut this out. Edit it out.
No, don't cut it out, Deeksha. Leave it in.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, both of us are taking AP government at school. So obviously this is like a topic that's very prevalent in our minds, especially because I have this class every day, so it's a conversation that I'm having every single day. But even before that, it was always something that you and I would talk about too, was bipartisanship and like Democrats and Republicans and independent parties and whatever, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like one conversation that I had, like, I don't know if it was earlier this week or a couple of weeks ago, because, you know, time's all warped and whatnot, but I was having this conversation that was like, it was about this very thing. It was like, were we always this polarized? Like, when was the last time that, like, parties worked for the people and not to push their own agenda? Like, when was the last time there was, you know, a president, or there was a term, or there was a party in charge where there really was true patriotic bipartisanship? And we were talking about, like, how in our lifetimes, you know, since you and I were born, that hasn't been a thing. This is all we've known, is this like extreme polarization of either party. Right. Like you said, it's like either side of the extreme is the side that's making the most noise. So therefore it's the side that's being the most heard. Like, it's the progressives that are making the headlines. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or it's like the far right conservatives. It's like their statements that are making the headlines, and it's their statements that are being talked about on CNN or about on Fox News or whatever. And that's what's ultimately like, making a mountain out of a molehill. Instead, when it should be, in fact, the moderate voice that I feel like should be magnified and should get the most voice, because that's what the majority of the American public is. You know what I mean? The majority does fall in the middle. You know what I mean? There's less people on the extremes and more people in the middle. And the middle, so it's, but it's kind of crazy, because since we've been alive, this is all we've known, is the extremes. This, like, socialist, like, liberals, or, like, you know what I mean, the far right.
Well, yeah.
And force you to get an force you not to get an abortion, sort of, you know, conservative side.
Right. Well, and it's exactly what I think, that's also a thing that we're, you know, constantly thinking about, like you said, in AP Gov, because in AP Gov, especially when, you know, our teacher is explaining it to us, it seems so, like, overly complex, bureaucratic, nothing ever gets done. They're just out there to fight against each other. And, you know, one of the things that, like, we've, I don't know about you, but in my class, that's kind of come to light a few times, is people will ask, you know, straight up, why is that allowed? Why are they doing that? And our teacher will have really no response except for, like, they can. And it's kind of like, if you're in a government class while you're watching the government fail so miserably to do so many things, it's kind of like you're not only seeing what's in the news, you're not only seeing, you know, maybe a polarized version or, you know, liberal propaganda from CNN, but you're also seeing people kind of talk about how, like, you're also seeing the actual working, like, cogs and gears behind all of that, and how it is so, you know, hindering to, like, any progress being done in the House or in the Senate.
Exactly. Exactly. And that goes back to the point of, like, this is also, like, all we've seen. When kids are asking, like, why is it like this? It's like, this is sort of how it's been for a long time. And it's warped that, like, we've just come to, like, be like, yeah, this is what it is. Like, this is, you know what I mean? The House does nothing. The Senate does nothing. They're just spending years and years trying to come to a compromise that had already been compromised on years ago. And they're trying to reach new conclusions, which it's like, hello, this is like, you know what I mean? This is so right in front of you. But it's also like, then why isn't it fun? Like, for something is, like, seemingly complicated, and something that has so many interwoven mechanisms to it as the American government, you think, like, it would be, you know what I mean? You think it would be more, like, respectable in the current day and time. You think it's something that, like, oh, this is, like, a respectable position, and they're serving the people, and it's, like, this amazing, like, prestigious thing, but it's really not. It's, like, they can't even get these simple bills to pass.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Debate's been going on for, like, you know what I mean? Hours and hours and hours.
Hours and hours.
How many more mornings do I have to spend watching C-SPAN before something productive actually happens?
Right. No, yeah. Well, and, like, I really don't know how to explain it. One thing, you know, when I was younger, when I was like a little tiny, tiny bebe Vivek, I used to be like, when I grow up, I'm going to be elected to Georgia 06 and I'm going to be on the floor of the House. And it's like, since then, like, I feel like I've become more knowledgeable to the fact that, like, why? Like, there's no reason to. It's not truly about representation. It's about playing the game of politics, which is not, you know, what young Vivek used to think when, like, oh, I really want to get into, like, log rolling and pork barrel legislation.
Get in those AP government terms. Yeah. No, but that's exactly what I mean. For something that seemingly is so complex and is so nuanced and has so many mechanisms, like the American government, it really is just a bunch of crap, and it really is just a bunch of nothingness.
I know.
Like, I mean, again, there's this whole thing of, like, it's deliberate and it's slow, and that's how democracy works.
There's nothing ever really done. Nothing ever gets done for the people, right? Like, even, you know, people have always talked about, like, oh, these giant tax, you know, tax cuts for that were done for, no one ever says this because it didn't ever happen, but these giant tax cuts that were done for the poor, you know, for the low income people. It's like, what giant tax cuts are you talking about? Like, I truly don't understand. And that's the other thing, is the people make it out to be a lot farther left or a lot farther right than it seems, or a lot farther left specifically than it seems to be. Like, people will conflate, you know, the Democratic Party or left-leaners as, like, these radical socialists, but, like, they're not. They're just these feckless right-wingers who, like, still don't do anything for the people.
Okay, I feel like you and a lot of the people that, like, this is the sort of group that we're in, and we have, like, conversations with other, you know, politically active teams. I feel like this is something that I hear a lot from you guys, mm-hmm. is sort of, like, all these, like, even these progressives are just masked right-wingers, and I feel like I hear that a lot, but I kind of disagree completely with that. Like, yes, for example, you have the Joe Biden, you have the Joe Bidens of, you know, American politics, who very much are just, like, you know what I mean? Moderates at best. Like, you know, I mean, firstly, well, they are moderate Democrats, but, like, I'm saying they're, like, you know what I mean? That's the most they can argue as a Democrat. And they're more conservative than they are liberal.
Right.
But then you also have, like, the AOCs and the Bernie Sanders, who are, like, sure, they're not so, like, you know, uber socialist that it's, like, you know what I mean? They're, like, you know, passing all this legislation immediately. But I do think we have to recognize that, like, it's also because they can't. Again, going back to the point of, like, this whole deliberate slow action, and that's how a democracy works, and that's how government works. I do feel like they're doing everything everything that they can, at least, to be the most progressive that they can. I don't think it's, extremely accurate to just characterize them as any other right-winger, if that makes sense.
No, and I don't think I have, but if I have, I didn't mean to. In that way, I think more of the time, at least where I'm coming from with it, is that, like, it's that same thing that we talked about, I think, last episode. Let me think. Mm-hmm. What was it? Oh, yes. It was about the theory that, like, in such a capitalistic society, right? Didn't we talk about this? That in such a capitalistic society, and anti-capitalist messaging turns into capitalist messaging. And that was less of me, saying that, you know, of course, there's much farther left positions to take than Bernie or AOC, right? But I do agree that they are doing, you know, kind of the best they can. Of course, you can criticize them for, you know, Bernie for supporting Nordic socialism whatever. But I do agree, definitely, that they're doing, you know, the best they can, especially considering that, you know, the alternative is these really right-wing people that are just not willing to do anything. You know what I mean?
I mean, but also, like, let's look at the infrastructure bill for a second. Like, I don't even think it's, I feel like, I don't even want to say it's, like, the far right, just, it's just them. Like, even though, as you know, as we see in the news right now, like, none of the Republicans are doing anything, and they literally are just sitting out there, like, we don't want to participate, we don't have a majority, so we don't have a voice. No matter what we say, nothing's gonna happen. Like, I know that, like, they're sort of protesting the whole thing right now, But even like progressives aren't easy to be with. Like, again, that's what I mean, is like either end of the spectrum is being heard, but no one is willing to compromise for the people who are in the middle when it is the majority, if that makes sense. Like, for example, even progressives, they're like, let's keep pushing this godforsaken bill when it could just get passed and it would help so many people. You know what I mean?
Even with what little it has.
But you got to understand, it's still like, it's still like a lot more than what they originally agreed to. Like, wasn't the...
No, like compared to what the progressives are still asking for.
Yes, yes. I'm saying like, sure, we can continue pushing this bill for like another year if they wanted to. You know what I mean? That's something that they could do.
Right.
But it's like, no, this is something that needs to be passed now. Like, the census has just been completed. Yeah. And like, I think you know what the numbers are. You know what the U.S. is looking like.
Right.
You have a Democratic majority. Like, get the shit done. Why are we...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think, actually, that would be a good thing, like, to rephrase, is that... I don't know if there it's not how where the, you know, the progressives or the Democrats fall on the political compass. I think a more valid criticism of them is that, like, why are you we talk about, we just said in the beginning of this episode, it's about playing the game, right? It's less about like doing, you know, the right thing, and the right thing will always yield you the right result. It's less about that, and it's more about playing the game. So why isn't anyone good at playing the game except for like these hardcore Republicans? Like, with this whole thing with progressives still pushing, no, we need, you know, we don't just need, and this is an exaggeration, we don't just need $2 trillion, we need $5 trillion. Stop pushing. You know, even $2 trillion is better than 1.5. So,
because it's like one thing to disagree with the Republicans, but it's another to then just break into factions in your own party. Like, and that's what this
Federalist,
is doing.
Federalist, what was it?
10.
Federalist 10. Federalist 10 knowledge coming through.
Penned by James Madison. Anyway. That's actually not even what I was referencing, but I'm weirdly, I take pride in that I accidentally did.
Okay.
Anyways, but yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Like, I feel like it's like really not looking hot for the Democrats right now, quite honestly. And you like, no. I remember all of these interviews were coming out by all these members from the party right before the Democratic National Convention, like from AOC and from like Pete, my man, my man, Pete Buttigieg, and Tulsi, my best friend, Tulsi Gabbard. And they were all giving these interviews, and they were like, all we need is to win the election. We just need to win the election. We just need to win all these elections, and then that's it. Like, we're set. And it's like, you won all the elections.
Lies.
You literally did. And now you're more fractured and more split than you have ever been. And you guys are just fighting amongst each other. And the bill that was supposed to pass, like, 2 months ago now has now been pushed, like, 4 months back. And it's not getting it's not even getting looked at till December again. So
no, and that's that's the other thing, is like, they'll be like, just get us elected, you know, do all this work for us, because like, I mean you too, you and I both were prime examples of all the grassroots people busting their ass to get these people into their seats, and then now what? Well, what are you doing with that political power we gave
for
you?
Real. And isn't like, what is that thing? It's like the whole social contract theory, right? It's like, here, we will, like, you know what I mean?
The fountain of authority.
We will give you the power, and you do, and you act in our best interest. Caroline Bordeaux? Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Caroline.
What were all those phone banking hours for? What were all those times I campaigned for you for? Like, nothing. Nothing.
Rob.
Not Rob. For real, like, it's true. You're absolutely right. It's true, and it's like...
Mm-hmm. And it's like, what?
They were literally all like, it was like this whole, oh my God, now let's just bring in AP Lang into this in rhetorical terms. But it was like all of this like usage of pathos, right? Like, you do this and I'll make your life better. Vote for me and I'll do this for you. We elect the Democrats, and then they're just like, oh, you need this infrastructure bill? Ha ha. Ha ha.
We'll debate, but we won't actually do it.
And then, and then we won't even look at it again for like, however, God knows for how long. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't.
Well, and that's what it's really, truly. I don't even know how to describe it. With the fact that, like, people who say they don't like, you know, politics, and they don't like getting into self-expression and stuff like that, I'm like, you can't not like it because you have to take that dislike of politics and turn it into something else. Because as you can see, and what I mean by that is, as you can see, our current political system is useless. It's garbage. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. No matter what, there's always a power struggle. When people get into power, they abuse their power, they get comfortable in their seat, and then they make grassroots volunteers work their asses off to get them back into those seats. But they don't actually serve the communities that they're getting support from. So it's almost like, why would you vote then? You know, like, we talk about how voting is such an important thing. Well, why don't you guys,
you bring up such a good point.
You guys need to take a little more responsibility, you know? Like, you want people to vote.
Exactly.
You can't just throw it on your mask every now and then and say, go out and vote at primaries, but then not make the people want to vote for you. That's your responsibility. That's why you're voted in.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I could not agree more with that. And I don't know why that was, like, such a, I don't know. What do you call that? Like, fireworks in my brain there for a second.
Thought-provoking.
Thought-provoking. There you go. I kind of like fireworks in my brain. Maybe I'll use that.
Yeah, you should. I like it.
But no, yes, going back to your point, that's exactly right. It's like even all of these, like, celebrity endorsements that they do just to get people to vote. And, like, they're at this point, like, you know what I mean? They're politicians literally beg their constituency to vote. They're like, get out and vote. But do they ever, sort of, like, build up on those actions? Like, do they ever, like, build up on that message or that propaganda? No. Like, especially, like, 2020 is such a good example of that. Like, at least where we're living, I don't know anyone who is, like, or you know what I mean? Or, like, they're all, like, for example, John Ossoff. He's, like, the first to post about it on Instagram. But, like,
he posted about the Braves game the other day with Raphael Warnock, and everyone was commenting, like, why are you at a baseball game and not working on the bill?
Yeah. And I don't even mean it like, oh, they should always be working, and not even like that. Okay. I'm just like, it just seems so performative.
Yeah.
You
know what? That's the perfect fireworks in my brain. That is the perfect. It is performative. You know, like, we always talk about, like, not just from, like, Congress people, but, like, celebrities and people posting, like, little tiny Black Lives Matter squares and then never saying anything about it again. But, like, it's performative. Fireworks in my brain.
Stop. You know what I just thought of? I just thought of, like, of when they did that Blackout Tuesday thing last year. And I remember this one girl. I'm pretty sure she just posted, like, a black square, and she was like, I care, with a black heart. That was her caption. And never did she post resources. Never did she post, it's fine, we don't talk about it. Anyways, but even going back to what you were saying earlier of, like, people not caring and people being like, I don't want to get into politics. And I feel like, firstly, there is no greater turnoff. Like, there's nothing that makes me want to be your friend less or make me want to talk to you less than you saying something that's so ignorant that it's like, I don't know.
Right.
But it's, I didn't tell you this, and this is like, I know we were having a rather, you know, important conversation, but yesterday someone comes up to me and they randomly, the topic gets to you. And they say, yeah, I can't talk to him because all he wants to do is talk about politics, and I can't vibe with that.
You know what? Fine, don't vibe with
me. I'm like, oh my God.
I don't care.
You don't understand what's coming out of your mouth right now. Anyways.
No, because literally that's not even true. Like, I aspire to be, like, the person who only talks about politics, but sadly, that's not me. I don't only talk about politics, so you're missing out. Sorry. I don't know why I'm gaslighting this hypothetical person. Not hypothetical, but this unknown person. But anyway, so another topic that's been, you know, on the news very recently is that the abortion bill, over 77%, I think it was not even just, like, all voters. It was Republicans specifically opposed the bill. And that was, you know, just
again, it goes back to the thing of, it's literally only the most conservative voice or the most leftist voice that's being heard. No one is caring about, you know what I mean, the majority, the 77%. Like, no one, I'm like,
Right.
Where are you, like, again, you guys, like, it's in the title, representatives. You know what I mean? It's in, you know, senators, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, you are supposed to be representing the
please.
People, the people's ideologies, the people's thoughts, how they yeah. feel about issues. Like, that's literally why you develop a party platform right. to begin with. That's why you, like, that's how you campaign.
It's your job. It's what you're getting paid, what, $120,000 a year for?
I don't
in the Senate?
Like, I don't know, man. It's just, anyways, go back to your point. I so rudely interrupted.
But yeah, so it was about how, like, 77% of Republicans oppose the abortion, you know, bill. And I was reading it and I was like laughing. And I don't know why, because it's not a laughing matter at all. But I was laughing because it's truly so stupid. Humanity is so stupid. We're all going to die. Nothing is ever going to be okay. Everyone is going to continue dying. Our planet is going to give out on us. And if we don't kill each other before that, we get to witness the gruesome end of the earth. And people in Congress are going to baseball games. I'm sorry, I just have to keep referencing the esteemed senator's Instagram post. But like, sir, no one is saying you can't go to baseball games. But why are you going to a baseball game in the middle of this important debate on the floor about how you're going to serve constituents? And it's not like you represent a rich state either. Like, Georgia is one of the poorest states. We have one of the largest, you know, in poverty populations. Why are you not, you know, working? Like, I'm sorry, I'll just say, why are you not working, you know, for solutions for, you know, Georgians? Like, again, no one is saying you can't take a break or anything, of course, but like, the reason that you're in this job is to help us. It's like, you don't just get the pay and get the prestige and get to do none of the work and go to baseball games instead.
No, it's like, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, he literally only posts when it's like extremely performative.
Yeah.
Or it's like not even, I don't even know if that's the exact word that I'm looking for, but it's like almost like he's checking in with us to say, like, hey guys, yeah. I'm actually still doing things.
Hey besties.
Like, hey besties, I'm still doing things. I'm still here and I'm still your senator kind of
deal. Do you remember when you posted about, oh my God, what was, okay, wait, you take over the conversation.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Remember when he was like Georgia in the house at the, what is it called? The inauguration.
Yeah, did he really?
Oh yeah, God. He posted a picture of him and Raphael Warnock, and he was like, Georgia in the house, and I was like, okay.
John, please. Like, you know what, I think, John, please, sir, please make it stop. Oh my God, yeah. Okay, I'm scrolling through his Instagram feed like a stalker because I need to find the photo. I can't find it, but there was something where he posted this photo and I almost replied to him and said, what the bloody hell you're doing with your life? Because it was like this completely unrelated to anything photo. And I was like, and the caption was also unrelated. It was something about how, you know, there was this, oh yeah, he opened his phone and he saw on his background something. And I was like, why are you telling me this?
Sir, you're not an influencer, John. Sit down and serve the people. You are not Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
John, stop pomading your hair and start running your hands through it in anticipation of how we're going to vote you out. Okay? You know.
For real. Okay, but also, can we talk about, like, Joe Biden and how he is, like...
old?
Well, yes, that is one of the many, very many aspects of, you know, of who he is. But also, how he's, like, you know, this episode's about uber-partisanship, but how he's for, like, almost uber-bipartisanship. It's like, Joe!
No, yes!
Joe, what went wrong in your mind? This is not, like, a therapy session where, like, the Republicans and the Democrats sit in a circle and they share they talk about their worst traumas in life. And no, get it done.
This is one of the things that I'm like finding most irritating about him. First of all, his face annoys me. Okay. I know that's like super mean and super cruel and like not a good thing to say, but his face just annoys me. I see his face pop up on my Instagram feed and I purposefully do not like it. Like, I purposely don't double tap it. I have to like restrain myself because I'm so used to double tapping, and I purposefully do because like I'm every time I see him, I'm just reminded of like his 17.7 million followers who are liking all of his photos with his feckless selfies with like these people in the middle of the country. And they're like, we're working on getting the American unemployment rate below 3%. And I'm like, okay, how? I want, you know, like not to bring back in AP Gov again. I want those, you know, pork barrel this, Joe. Get your colleagues in Congress to pork barrel this. I want to see receipts.
Also, it's like, it's not even, the thing that I feel like so many people don't understand is how really interconnected all of this is. Like, for example, you brought up the unemployment rates. What is one way that this can, we can get to that space, that solution really quickly? The infrastructure bill, people. Like, do you know how many employees it takes to, like, you know what I mean? Rebuild bridges, rebuild roads, get climate action, you know, going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that takes workers. You need to hire people for that. That automatically lowers the unemployment rate.
And then on top
rate.
Of that, you need to work on, you know,
you have soft
sort of lowering the cost for education or for higher education or even for, like, you know, I think it costs something still to, like, go to a technical school or go get trained in a job or
a trade school. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Then you have to work on lowering costs of living because, like, no one is going to work in a job where they make $20,000 when their bills are, like, $7 million a year, right? So, like, why?
It's also, like, there's so much talk about, like, 21st century, like, technological developments left and right, and so much is changing, and, like, it's because of technology that, like, you know, we're living the lives that we're living, and et cetera, et cetera. It's, like, you're right. Like, these are all things that we're saying, but it's, like, where, you know what I mean? Where is this tangible? Like, where is all of this new technology being implemented? Like, if anything, we're talking about, like, making America better and safer and, like, you know what I mean? Shiny and all brand new again. It's like, you're absolutely right. Like, I see the thought process, but where is this being implemented? Again, goes back to the need for the infrastructure bill, the need for the passage of other bills. But, like, none of it's even being talked about because of this uber partisanship. Because they can't, like, even forget uber partisanship. It's just, like, again, the factions within the party. It's, like, already, it's like, fine, the Republicans are sitting out. They're like, oh, I don't want to participate. And they're being sore losers about it or whatever, as they typically are. No shade. but
no, shade.
But then on
the
other side, you have the Democrats, and it's like they can't even come up with a resolution themselves. They're, like, fighting left and right. And it's like, it's not about you. Like, can you guys, like, it's literally, you are the last people that this is about. Like, it does not, it's, I don't get it.
No.
You're like, you're,
do you remember when Joe Biden went for a joyride in that car?
What car?
The new Ford car. And it, like, made the news for, like, 2 whole days.
Stop, like, Joe Biden?
Sir.
I thought Joe Biden only traveled by Amtrak.
I thought so, too. But apparently not. Because, like, he posted this. I'm looking at it right now on his Instagram. And it's him going, this sucker's quick. While he's driving. And I was like, sir, why are you driving this? Why? What are you doing? Like, what is this? What am I watching? What? Why are you? Oh, Jesus!
Like, that's kind of what it's like. They either do nothing that's of use,
or
they're just fighting.
Do everything that's not of use.
Yeah.
It's so annoying because I'm scrolling through his feed right now, and I'm seeing all these, you know, great posters, you know, and great, you know, what are these things called?
Messaging.
Yeah, great messaging about, you know, so like, no one can tell me that if it had been, this was on January 7th, no one can tell me that if it had been a group of BLM protesters yesterday, that they wouldn't have been treated very differently. Or like, he posted on January 15th, he posted, in this pandemic in America, we cannot let people go hungry, get evicted, watch nurses and educators lose their jobs. We must act. Okay, but how? Like, that's entirely your job. You're saying all these grandiose slogans, and you're saying you're doing these things, and maybe, you know, you are doing these tiny, minuscule activities like raising the moratorium on evictions or like something like that. But like, these are band-aids.
Yeah.
You are not fixing the problems. It's like you're not actually taking out the infection. I don't know where I was going with this analogy. You're not healing the infection.
It's as simple band-aids. Band-aids don't fix bullet holes.
You're not healing the infection. You're putting on foundation.
That's not.
You don't like it?
That's not good.
Are you telling me people don't put on foundation to cover up their blackened, infected holes?
No, I think you're talking about blemishes. Who covers up infections with foundation? Are you okay? Clearly, you have not washed makeup a day in your life. But even earlier this week, it's sort of a similar situation. Going back to your thing of like, sure, these are all beautiful things to say, but where's the tangibility? We're talking about Puerto Rico and how like literally they have how many natural disasters a year?
At least 10.
And it's like, you see all these, you know, politicians and these celebrities just sort of throwing money at Puerto Rico. And it's like, you know, this is fully your response. It's like, it's a U.S. Territory. It might as like, you know what I mean? It's high time it be considered a U.S. state.
Yeah.
Like,
right. It has more people than like Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota.
It has more people than Utah, doesn't it?
Yeah. Utah, New Mexico, Delaware, all of those.
Yeah, exactly. It might as well be considered a U.S. state. But like any time, again, like countless natural disasters a year, like we're here and we're, you know, we're sitting in bed and we're like, you know, we're talking as if like we, you know what I mean? Like with all this self-importance, but we really are so privileged because these are all things that we can say, but these are things we haven't experienced. Yeah. And it goes to the point of like, countless natural disasters a year. Families literally losing, you know what I mean? Their patriarchs, their matriarchs, their children, their grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera, every year. And all we do is just throw money at it.
Right.
Band-aids.
Yeah.
Like
Band-aids, not scalpels.
Good, Vivek. You should maybe medical analogies.
Maybe go to sleep.
Aren't your thing. Is it the Benadryl?
Is it the Benadryl? Well, I did take Flonase. Maybe it's the Flonase.
Oh no. Vivek Samir Flonase Gatti.
Please. I almost coughed myself to death because I laughed so hard at that I almost sent myself into a coma. But anyway, I just thought you should know that you almost killed me with your joke. But
I'm so funny.
Yeah, but so like back to the, you know, Puerto Rico thing, I know like obviously this is nothing at all, right? Like I still, just because I've been able to do a little research on it doesn't mean, you know, I know any of the extent necessarily of what's happening there. But as I've been looking more into the, you know, Puerto Rican consulates, you know, handlings or their protocols for things, how disaster relief is conducted, how it's, you know, all that CERT stuff that you learn in Intro to Law about, like, you know, like triaging and stuff like that. And then just looking at how much like monetary contribution there is to it. It's so like skewed. And what I mean by that is, why are you throwing $20 million, right? Why are you throwing, that's an exaggeration, obviously, I can't remember the exact number. Why are you throwing $20 million towards getting paper towels when you could be throwing it towards, I don't know, working on climate change and in the meantime, helping to build up some of, you know, Puerto Rico's, you know, what is that thing that they built up in Louisiana, the tunnel things? For like,
I know what you're talking about, but I can't. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it's the tunnel things. The things that, like, help water, you know, get out.
Irrigation systems?
Yeah, like irrigation systems, but, like, it helps water get out. Or helps you conserve the water for, you know, agriculure. There's an idea. So, like, when you look at the amount of Band-Aids, it comes down to that. Band-Aids over Band-Aids over scalpels. And when you look at it,
that's not good. You mean Band-Aids over surgery?
Sure, Band-Aids over surgery.
Much better, thank you. Okay. When you look at Band-Aids over surgery, I still said scalpels. When you look at Band-Aids over surgery, it's like, wow, this is not, you know, this is not great. You know, Joe, get your fucking act together, right? Like,
it's like, again, goes back to my earlier point of like, oh, like sustainable developments and all these technological developments. It's like, again, literally crickets. Where are all of these developments being used? Like, for example, again, countless times every year this happens in Puerto Rico. Have we ever considered, mm-hmm. like you said, spending that $20 million on maybe, I don't know, harder and more sturdier infrastructure? Maybe, like, you know what I mean? Investing right. in like fully brick houses. I get it's expensive, but it's better to spend it on that.
Yeah.
On more sustainable living than on paper towels. Like
$20 million. Can you imagine?
I mean, isn't that an exaggeration? Isn't that like,
yeah, let me search up what the actual number is. How much did the US spend on paper towels in Puerto Rico?
And it's like paper towels are important, but I don't know, man.
I mean, they're a simple supply and we get it. They are important. But maybe, again, they're more of a Band-Aid and you would need less paper towels if you just got out the scalpel.
Also, given that it's the U.S., and I'm pretty sure the best that we supplied them with is probably those, like, brown paper towels in the science-like rooms that do nothing.
Hydrophobic.
The hydrophobic paper towels that do nothing but just, like, swish the water, like, around.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Imagine.
It's, like, it's not even the, in the Bounty commercials, those, like, off-brand paper towels that just like soak up like half of it. It's not even those. It's like literally nothing. It's like literally paper.
It's not.
It's paper. Yeah.
No, even paper is more sturdy than that. Like, I feel like the brown paper towel is just like disintegrating in your hands. Anyways.
Since you have informed me about your hatred of The View, I've been watching it with a more critical lens because I was like, you know, Kirtana is usually pretty good about this stuff. So let me try watching it from the critical lens of Kirtu, of Kartani, and see if maybe, perhaps, the point stands.
They're literally so stupid. I watched it
the other day, and I was watching it, and Whoopi goes, she says something about, they were talking about, I think, I'm not sure what it was, but Whoopi said some completely, like, not profound at all statement, and everyone was like,
what are they ever profound?
Everyone was like, Whoopi, that's so, that's, like, so on the point, and I was like, no, it's not. I don't know what y'all are talking about, but no, it's not.
All I saw last week was this clip, and they were talking about how, it was their opinions on the age gap between, like, couples, and I was like, what is this? And these,
what am I watching?
And this is, like, the finest female journalism in all of America. Like, I don't understand that. Anyways, this is about Uber partisanship. I don't know how we got here from the Puerto Rico metaphor to scalpels. Mm-hmm. And
well, in the vein of Puerto Rico, and actually this goes along with Uber partisanship and The View. Wow, a trifecta. One time on there, Sunny, who's from Puerto Rico, was talking. I don't know if she's actually from or if she's just, like, you know, ethnically a Puerto Rican, but she was talking about how one time she thinks the reason that Donald Trump and his administration didn't help out when, was it Maria that hit Puerto Rico? I think it may have been Maria.
Yes, I think so.
So she was talking about how, like, she thinks the reason that he didn't help out that much is because Puerto Rico doesn't vote in the presidential elections. So, like, that's what she was saying, is that since basically he doesn't have to look good for them. And I was like, whether or not that's true, the fact that that was, you know, a thought just shows how bad our country is when it comes to this issue of Uber partisanship. I don't know. Mm. Everything's just shit.
Everything is just shit.
But, I mean, I guess we're still here, so...
No, that's not good enough. That's literally not good enough.
Supposed to be, like, thankful for them and shit.
Oh, no. That's not
good enough. I don't want to be, but, like... Remember, did you see my vlog of me and, I won't dox this person, but, like, me and this person in physics making vlogs about Canva backgrounds for Instagram, for phone wallpapers? They were all so bad, Trithana.
I don't know. How did we get to vlogs in physics?
No, because it was like, it was, okay, so Miss, our physics teacher, whoops, our physics teacher, we have Marvel time, which is basically time to work for anyone who doesn't go to Alliance. And we were doing the background.
Study hall.
And they all had stupid marking on them, like, you know, life is worth living. And I was like, what does that mean? Okay.
Like, not life is worth living.
Life is worth living. Oh my like,
god.
Okay.
Oh my god. I think I read something the other day that was sort of thought provoking and again has nothing to do with
what what is it? Fire in the brain?
Firecrackers in my brain.
Firecrackers in the brain.
Whenever I said that, I think of Katy Perry because, like, you know, fireworks.
Not fireworks.
Yeah. Anyways, I read something the other day and it was sort of like it was this girl and she was having a session with her therapist and the therapist said something about, like, if all of your problems disappeared yesterday, how would you feel? Like, what would that feel like? And this girl was like, I wouldn't even know what that feels like because it's the same as, like, every day when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, like, you just see yourself. But then when you look at a picture of you from, like, I don't know, two years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that's when you see that you've changed. Like, you get what I mean? Your problems, it's not, like, realistic that they would all go away at once. Where am I going with this? That they would all go away at once because, because every day there will be another problem. So you'll only really appreciate that you've, like, you're past one thing after it's been some time and you can sort of appreciate it for what it was. And I was, you know, this girl was all, like, trigger warning, like, I'll just say it now, but, like, this girl was all, like, sort of talking about, like, dying and life and what it means to live and all of this, and I was thinking, existentialism.
Existentialism.
Exactly. And I was thinking, like, and this is not, like, some profound original thought, but it just kind of, like, made me think, like, no, she's right, because, like, that's just what it is. Dying is the easy way out. Like, sort of giving up and just being, like, this is, like, government is shit and no, like, you know what I mean, like, nothing matters, whether I vote, it doesn't matter, whether I'm involved in politics or not, it doesn't matter, nothing matters, like, that's easy, like, doing that. Should I quote Hamilton real quick? What is that thing that he says? Dying is easy, young man, living is harder.
Do it.
It's like that. It's like that's just what life is. It's just a pit of suffering and it's incredibly hard, if not just impossible. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's harder to have these conversations and it's harder to be active, like an active member of society and think and speak out than it is to just, like, you know, cease to do all of those things and just, like, exist. I don't know if any of that made sense, but...
It made sense. I got there eventually. Yeah. I was, like, thinking.
Yeah.
But I and that's what I always hate about this sort of, like, well, if everything's so bad, then just, like, don't watch politics, right?
Exactly.
I'm like, no.
Exactly. But that's the easy way out. You're not contributing or doing anything. Like, it's not helping you because you're not
completely looking at the wrong way of this.
Like, even mentally speaking, like, by doing that, you're, like, devoiding yourself of all mental stimulation. You know what I mean? You have, you're not exercising your brain, so to speak.
It's like if you're complaining about the government, your first thing should not be, what can we do? And move on. It should be, I wish we could change it. And just, like, think through it in your head. And even better, also, contribute to the change.
Also, it's, like, so easy to like, again, like, I feel like we talk about this all the time. And I say this, like, all the time. But it's, like, it's, like, it takes a lot more effort to, like, I don't know, man. It takes a lot more effort to, like, give a whole speech on why you feel a certain way, or it takes a lot more effort to complain about our current political atmosphere, even though we do this, like, an hour every other week on this podcast. But it takes a lot more effort to sit and complain about our current political atmosphere or climate than it does to, I don't know, go to a board meeting and give a quick 2-minute speech, or, I don't know, organize a quick, like, sort of, you know what I mean? It, like, especially if it's something that you're collaborating with, like, you know, with other people on.
Because you get to work with other people, which is, makes it easier.
And it's like, it's so much more effective. And it's also like, people are so quick to be like, oh, I admire you for, like, doing this and that. I'm like, forget the admiration. Get up and do it yourself, too. Like, that's the thing that, like, it takes so much more effort to, like, I don't know, compliment someone for, like, going up and speaking at a board meeting than it does to, like, you know what I mean? At a board meeting. You could be writing a speech. It could be, like, 40 seconds long, but it's still something.
Right. And that's the other thing, is that people are like, nothing I say is ever going to change it.
Or even sending an email. Like, yeah. Exactly.
It's like, you simply cannot know that. What if one day that speech, even if it's like long after you're dead, what if one day that speech somehow that you, maybe you told it to someone and it got like, they, or maybe you had the piece of paper and it got like, I don't know, something. And someone finds it and like, let's just say this is obviously like a super inspirational and not on par with me at all in example, but like, what if they find it and they make real social change because they were inspired, right? What if you post on Instagram and that one person who sees it is really inspired to go out and do something? Like, even then, that's making an enormous impact. Like, there's no way to, you know, be aware of exactly how much that is going to, you know, positively affect, you know, the situation. So why wouldn't you at least do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't speak for all of those what ifs in that range, but it's also like our government teacher is always saying, like, every election is a revolution. Like, it's not like, sure, you hear and you like cringe on the inside a little bit, like, huh, revolution, sure, whatever. But it's like, it literally is true. Because it's like, again, can we stop with the self-importance for a minute? Like, everyone pause on the self-importance. It, again, very little with what it has to do with you. Like, you know what I mean? It's about, like, what you saying that to a group of people means for those, like, 20, 25, 50, 100, 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, what those 1,000 people, or, like, you know what I mean? However many people go and tell another, you know, significant amount of people. Like, that's the sort of growth that I'm talking about. Like, I don't know, man.
It's just, I just want to cry. Because it's not even like I'm laughing, but obviously, as we both know, it's not even funny, right? Like, just, it's like nothing is ever going to be okay.
It's like, through this episode, I've almost gone through the 5 stages of grief, but it's not like stages of grief. It's just like 5 stages of something. Maybe living. Yeah. I think living is a good replacement term. But it's like, now I'm just like, you know what? It's not gonna do it. Like, less than 30 seconds ago, we just said, oh, your voice is like, you know what I mean? It will amount to something or whatever. But I literally feel like all of this is for nothing. like it feels like, sure, whatever, bipartisanship, like, they work together and they finally come up with a conclusion. But by then, will it be too late? Like, will it get, you know what I mean? I'm just sort of thinking of, like, earlier, am I being, like, really loud all of a sudden? I can't tell. Sorry to headphone listeners. I'm sorry. I apologize. Please. But, like, we were talking earlier about, like, you know, being a, you know, living in a poor state and whatnot, but it's, like, you go to Atlanta and you're just driving around and, you know, everyone's first in line to say, oh, these homeless people, like, or, like everyone's first in line to be a Caitlyn Jenner, basically. Yeah. Everyone's first in line
Caitlyn
to be,
Jenner
like,
vibes.
Like, I hate the whatever homeless, like, why are they, like, you know what I mean, crowding the streets and whatnot, etc. But I, like, that's sort of, like, what I just thought of is, like, sure, they've, like, you know, all of these, you know, people who, you know, all of these bureaucratic people, you know, put on their suits and ties every morning and they go into this huge room and they debate for hours to pass like one piece of legislation. But is what they're doing all the way there going to help I don't know, at least one homeless person on the streets of Atlanta? Like, will it help at least one of them get shelter and, like, proper three meals a day, not having to stand and, like, at a soup, you know, a line at a soup kitchen for, like, 8 hours to get, like, one, you know, crumb of bread and maybe a bowl of soup? Mm-hmm. Like, it, that's sort of, like, where my head's at. Yeah, anyways, go ahead.
The other day I had posted about how something, I had reposted a graphic because, again, it's not like anyone is, you know, really caring about what your Instagram stories are, especially if they're about politics. But like, what if someone does? But anyway, I had posted about how mainly African-American inner city communities, as well as Hispanic communities, and then as well as Native American, you know, communities and on reservations or whatever, are the most, you know, underfunded, are the most, you know, in poverty, all of that. And someone replied to it and said, let me think. They replied to it and they said, oh yeah, they said, that's not my problem. And they said, I really was in that moment. I was like, okay, this person who has replied could be thinking two things. They could be thinking, I hate this person. I want to respond to their story and get into a fight with them. Or they could actually be thinking what they've just written here.
But like,
I didn't respond, but I reflected. I know you'll be so proud of me. I reflected.
Did you get out your journal and meditate and everything?
No, I made myself some coffee at 9 p.m. at night and came upstairs and redistricted for hours on end. But so like, I was thinking, I was like, everyone actually sucks.
No, it's not even like that compassionate bit though, because I've like, whatever, like I've come to terms with that people don't care about anything, and it's the most frustrating thing to me. Like, there's this like one person in my life that like for a period, like all they would say is, I don't care about everything. And it's just like the most infuriating thing to me, but I've also just like, whatever, I get it. People are just, humanity is just, they don't care.
People don't care.
Like, zero compassion, no empathy. And we're always talking about, like, that's all you need to do is, like, empathize. Like, just, you, like, you know what I mean? If everyone just had a little bit of empathy.
No one is asking you to do anything. Like, yeah.
We would, you know what I mean? We would be miles ahead from where we are now. But it's like, okay, fine. Just take that out of the equation. Because we know that's something that's, like, not going to change overnight. People aren't just going to grow moral compasses overnight. Take that out of the equation. But you're saying how, like, what did they say? How does it affect me? Or, like, why should I care, right?
How does it affect me? Or, like, why should I care?
But it's, like, I get if that's coming from, like, a place of just, like, evilness, and you just, like, you know, you're, like, you're just despicable, and you don't care, and you're just not compassionate, and it's, like, so what, like, you know what I mean? What happened? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. In that sort of way. But I'm also thinking, like, but it quite literally does matter. Like, I don't care if you care about the homeless or not. It matters, because then tomorrow you're going to wake up and the Sunday post is going to come over, and you're going to look at the homelessness rates and the depression rates and the suicidal rates, and then you're the one that's going to be sitting there complaining, oh, they're ruining my fine city. Oh, it's because of them that like new infrastructure isn't being implemented in the city.
Yeah.
It's because of them that like, oh, like all these parks and all these recreational activities are being stopped. You're going to sit there and you're going to complain, and then you're going to go complain, and then you're going to get into your group of friends, and then you're going to complain to them, like these homeless people. Okay, and then all of you guys are going to be like, they're stopping, like, these homeless people are stopping us from, like, living our best lives, and it's because of them that we can't participate in all these recreational activities, and it's because of them that we can't go to downtown Atlanta and go to the what is it called, the High Art Museum? We can't go to the High Art Museum. We can't go to this. We can't go to the Coca-Cola thing. We can't go to the aquarium. That's what you're going to say. Mm. So it does affect you, because it's not just, like, these are people. No, like, literally the economy depends on them. You're like, why are the unemployment rates so high? Well, didn't you just make some snarky comment about how you don't care about the homeless? I don't know. Maybe if you did something productive instead, and maybe wrote to your senators, wrote to your representatives, and was like, what can I do to get these people employed? You get what I mean? This is all a cycle. It doesn't matter whether you care about these people or not. You do care about your own life, right? So, like, why? I don't understand the holdup. That's what I mean. Like,
right.
Forget the compassion. Forget about everything else. And you do care about your own life, right? You care about the activities that you do on a day-to-day basis. You care about the economy that you're living in. You care about your own standard of living. So why wouldn't you? I don't know.
And that goes back to what we're saying. Like, it's so easy. Like, people have literal websites dedicated to templates full of issues about what you want to write to your senator or representative about. Like, people have websites full of these things. Again,
that's what I'm saying. You don't have to sit there and complain. And even in the time that whoever that was, it, like, you know, he had to, like, muster up the anger or whatever, the frustration, and DM you and be like, why should I care? Why does this matter? In that same time, you could have pulled up a template. Again, you didn't have to type a single thing. Mm. All you have to do is hit send. Like, you don't even have to put your name in it if you don't want to.
Literally.
Like, That's all it takes. But instead, you choose to complain and you choose to make it like a mess out of, again, mountain out of a molehill. Like,
yeah.
My God.
And sure, it's fun. Sure, you know, for people who are interested in politics, it's fun to look at numbers, statistics, visual representations of data. But that's not what matters. What matters when you get down to it is people. And the fact that people currently are suffering, period.
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 I mean, but again, like, goes back to my earlier point, we're always suffering. Like, I don't know, not to get even more, like, into, like, some theoretical subject that no one asked me to get into, but it's like, there's no perfect harmony, right? There's no, what is it called, a utopia. Like, it's just not, or, oh my God, what's that James Madison quote? Like, if men were angels, then we wouldn't need a government to begin with.
There would be no need for government. Yeah.
So it's never going to happen. Like, we're always going to be in this cycle of suffering until we reach enlightenment and whatnot, depending on what you believe in.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. You didn't laugh at my joke.
What was your joke?
POV, you didn't ask.
Oh my God. Oh my God. My snap story. I love that for me. Anyways. Yeah, oh exactly. Gosh. Like, what I get it. We're not nothing. Like, I get it. It's government. It's slow and deliberate. And it's like, this is how democracy works, because there's so many people, and the U.S. is so, you know, it's like this vast, expansive landmass, and it's impossible to, you know, have everyone's opinions be heard. But it's like, clearly there's a majority here, and there's clearly an easy way for us not to be so polarized and for everything to be more agreeable. And again, this is not like a reflection of my own political whatever opinions either. Like, you get what I mean? It's just a fact. It's like what we need.
It's a fact. Again,
this is like not goes back to anything. I don't know if I've said this before, but it's like, when, you know how like everyone was like, settle for Biden. I was like, yes, sure. If you're a progressive or if you're a leftist, we are settling for him 100%. But what I felt when, you know, he was the one that was ultimately the Democratic nominee, I was like, maybe this is like after I kind of was like, not Joe Biden. After that, my immediate sort of thought process was like, I think he might be exactly what we need. Clearly I've been proven wrong, because he does nothing, but exactly what we need, in the fact that he's conservative enough.
He goes for drives in Ford F-150s.
At that time, like, you know, last August, September, October, my thought process was like, yes, I get it. Settle for Biden. But I feel like at that, it felt like what America needed, in the sense that he was just conservative enough not to overly upset Republicans, even though Republicans were very, very upset. I'm like, what are you upset about? He's not threatening you in any way.
He's that blue dog Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. But he's also a Democrat. So that gives, like, you know, all Democrats sort of a leeway the House, into the Senate, whatever. But that's what I was thinking. Anyways, right. Where was this coming from? Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, the majority being heard, etc. Like, is it a reflection of my own political views? No, but it's like literally a fact. That's just where we are at. We're so fractured that any sort of bipartisanship at this point is like a godsend.
Yeah.
Any sort of participation, unfortunately, in our democracy is a godsend. It's like, if people, like, it's unfortunate, but like, fact.
The bottom line, everyone, is everyone sucks. Nothing's ever going to get better if we don't change it. Nothing's going to get better even if we do change it. Everyone should stop crying, and everyone should just die. A meteor should hit Earth right now, and all of us need to evaporate and die.
What a roller coaster this has been. I will not agree with Vivek because, I don't know, some of you guys might be in a weird mental space and actually do everything that he just said. But I will say, what will I say? I guess this is a rather unsettling conclusion to our episode.
Good luck.
Yeah, but do try, mm-hmm. for sure. Don't give up, well, and don't be all like, oh, whatever I do doesn't matter, because...
Don't be stupid and dumb, honestly, okay?
That's kind of what I say all the time. Like, just don't be dumb. Like, stop. It's so easy not to be dumb. Why would you choose to be dumb? Anyways.
It's like, what does it cost you to be not dumb?
You don't even have to be smart. You don't even have to be smart. You just have to be not dumb.
Yeah, no one is asking you for intelligence, please.
Yeah, and this is coming from two nincompoops, as our Instagram bio says.
Look at us quoting our Instagram bio.
Okay, well, this has been a mess, but as it always is with us, it was nice chatting with you, Vivek, today. This fine afternoon.
Thank you. You
too. Okay, see you guys next time.
Brought to you by Deekshu Devrasetty for editing, Vanshika Khatwani and Jasmine White for graphics, Puneet Bajwa and Sanj Varyani for socials, and to my wonderful co-host Kirtana for putting up with me.